Welcome to Questions from the Closet. I'm Ben Shalati.
And I'm Charlie Bird. Each episode, we discuss a question that we commonly get asked as LGBTQ Latter-day Saints.
We are not trying to answer this question or come to a consensus, but simply sharing our perspectives. Today's question is, can I be in a relationship and stay in the church?
Ben and I are not terribly diverse, and we share many opinions and life experiences. For example, our books are almost exactly the same length.
However, there are some pretty big differences. My book is chronological and Charlie's is not.
That's true. Actually, my mom is the one who texted me. She just finished reading your book, Ben, and she's like, did you know that the page count is exactly the same? And I was like, no, I didn't.
I knew. They're about this. I think mine's like maybe 2 pages longer.
Oh.
Well, Kathy would know better.
You're always trying to two-up me.
Yeah.
So mine switches. I don't know. Is this like sterile? We're just talking about our books. Buy our books. They're really good. or just read them. I don't know. Can we start over? I hate this. Just keep going. Whatever. Keep it in. Who cares?
I think your book had a really interesting structure where like each chapter was like a story and then like a teaching chapter. Story, teaching chapter. I just like blended all of mine together.
Yeah.
But like mine makes more sense linearly because I've had like a longer life. Yeah. So there was like more to say.
It's more to talk about.
Yeah. You're just like, I was gay. And here are my thoughts.
Well, speaking of thoughts, we like to variety of voices and perspectives and thoughts. So today we're joined by Summer Lee Corey.
Hello.
Okay. So Summer, tell us a little bit about yourself.
For sure. So I'm from Hawaii originally and I grew up there. I have 2 elder sisters. They both attended BYU. So I ended up coming over to Utah, to Provo area, to go to BYU. I'm still in school right now. I'm now at UVU. I'm studying exercise science to become a pelvic floor therapist in the near future. So,
what on earth does that mean?
Yeah, so it's a specialty of physical therapy, except that it's more focused in reproductive and sexual health.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you are married.
I am.
Tell us about who your spouse is and how you met.
Of course. So I'm married to my spouse. Their name is Bobby Lee. They're from Singapore, and they're a very exciting person to be married to. They're very adventurous. We do a lot of things. We try to meet a lot of people. We really like being outdoors. They're just a lovely person altogether. They're very intentional, very purposeful, and they have a lot of meaning in their life, which really inspires me.
Fantastic. And also, you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
Tell us about your relationship with the church.
For sure. So I was born and raised in the church. My parents are very awesome church members, but also kind of different in the way that as I grew up, they were very, I come from a more liberal family, and so they're very open to lots of new ideas to question. So I grew up in the church, but also, you know, with that typical background of the gospel and its doctrines and teachings, but I also kind of grew up in a family that really valued questions and asking questions that might not have answers. And so I feel like growing up, my relationship with the church was very explorative. I feel like I was able to have a lot of meaningful conversations, and I still can have a lot of meaningful conversations with my parents and my sisters. And I really value that because I think religion is supposed to be a reconnection not only to the divine, but to people. Which is something that I really like about church. So I've grown up in the church and came to BYU. When I came out as queer, as gay, I was still attending church. I just still do attend church, sorry. But my relationship with the church has definitely changed a bit because obviously I'm not really following the prescribed path that they may set for LGBTQ members of the church or hope for the LGBTQ members. And so, yeah, I'm living as kind of in between this intersection of Mormonism and queer. Yes.
Yeah. So could you tell me a little bit about what went into that decision of keeping a close relationship and still attending church, even though you were married in an LGBTQ partnership?
I don't think that I ever really thought about whether it was a decision I had to make about leaving the church per se or stopping going. I think it was my relationship was just a very natural ease from friendship into more. And similarly with the church, it was this ease into familiarity, going more into an unfamiliar or gray space. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I feel like my relationship with the church has only changed in part a very positive way, because I rely now a lot more on my relationship with God, more so than an institution. So while I really do value, say, the general authorities and what they might say to the public, to me, I think of them, or my dad actually once kind of had this thought that he was talking about how general authorities are general, they're for the general public, and how we are our own specific authorities. So for me, that's something that I've kind of took along with me, while having like the input of general authorities or the input of the church at large, which is has a lot of great ideas and really beautiful principles, but at the same time, trusting my own personal authority to receive personal revelation.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Summer. You know, I think that thought your dad shared, I remember Elder Oaks saying something very similar at this CES fireside back in like 2005. He said, "I'm a general authority. I speak to general principles. If you feel like this doesn't apply to you, please don't send me a letter." I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting that you said, you know, you felt like you could be in an LGBTQ partnership, or I don't know, how would you describe your marriage? Would you even put a label on it, or would you just call it a marriage?
Yeah, I mean, Bobby's my life partner.
Okay.
My spouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always thought, and I would always say, if I marry a man and leave the church, mm-hmm. like I always just kind of like saw these two things going together. Like if I were to be in a same sex marriage, mm-hmm. I would then leave the church. Mm-hmm. But that, it doesn't seem like you didn't feel like those two decisions had to go together.
Yeah, not at all. I think kind of what I was saying earlier, it felt very natural for me to stay or to progress, might I say, progress in whom I was, in the things that I was already part of. So I was progressing within my relationship with the church as I was progressing with my relationship with Bobby. And so I think that it was never a choice that I felt like I had to make, especially because my family was so supportive and they never questioned me. So for me, I felt very sure moving forward, especially through personal revelation and me knowing that I could find truth when I asked for it. And knowing that I could be at that kind of crossroads.
Yeah.
I really appreciate you breaking down the stereotype of like going into a relationship and leaving the church. And especially because one of the things that was most like earth shattering and shocking and helpful for me as I was coming out was meeting a gay couple who still went to church. And I did not, like Ben was saying, I'd never even thought about that. Like that seemed so impossible to me. It seemed so contradictory. But there they were, and they were happy and healthy and fun, and they were cool, and they were part of their ward and loved by their congregation. And it was so, it was almost like opening up a new door, a new chapter, a new just like possibility of this doesn't have to be one way or the other. And I can choose how to move forward in my own way and like find happiness no matter what that looks like. And it was also like really validating to find people who were out and gay, who were expressing their spirituality and trying to come closer to God and like stay close to their roots in a way that they can actually root themselves in.
Yeah,
they just blew my mind, honestly. And from there, I was able to make a lot more progress in myself and who I was and what I wanted. And I think that's just something that doesn't really, like, even still, I mean, it's 2021 and that is pretty rare. And I'm just grateful for you even coming on this podcast because it's helpful. Like, I think people need good examples of visibility in a way that they can see themselves in a life they'd want to live.
Yeah, for sure. Which is definitely one of the reasons why I choose to attend church besides, you know, the goodness that it brings me. I was having this conversation with my sister about like why she goes to church, and she was saying, you know, if I didn't go to church, then I wouldn't meet all these people who are so different from me, and I wouldn't have a chance to hear all these different perspectives that, you know, to me sometimes are super strange or odd or beautiful, or, you know, it's just such variety within a congregation. And so I think taking off from what she said, that really resonated with me in terms of I go to church also because I want to have access to such a diverse group of people that I can learn from or laugh with or, you know, talk with in circumstances that otherwise I wouldn't ever meet them or know them. And so I feel like there's so much good that comes from like this group, you know, meeting in this group of random, strange, and wonderful people.
Yeah. You know, what you're saying reminds me of this essay I read called Why the Church is as True as the Gospel. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the gospel has all these beautiful, wonderful truths, but the church is true because it brings us together and it puts us, it's where we practice the principles of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Summer, I can imagine somebody saying, you identify as a lesbian, you are in a marriage that isn't sanctioned by the church. Why go? Like, can't you have those good experiences with diverse people in another place?
Yeah. And I think it's definitely true that I could probably find other spheres or, you know, per se a religion or a group institution that validates me as a queer person. But I think for right now, I feel like it's a space where I can really try to advocate and hopefully share with people and also listen from people. And so I think that my experiences at church, they haven't always been great or been things that have made me want to go back. But by going to church, I'm able to reach and connect with people who might, you know, have queer kids or might be queer. And for me, it's really worth it to be there and to talk with them and, you know, raise my hand and make sure that something is said that needs to be said. So, for instance, my mom, she's really awesome. During every Sunday school class or Relief Society meeting, whatever subject we're talking about, she'll raise her hand and bring up something that she's learned from her trans friend or from, you know, oh, but what about our queer, you know, our queer siblings? And so I think that's something that I've learned from her as well, is being at church gives me a way to help others be heard.
What does it feel like when you go to church and sit next to your partner? Well, I guess I just assume that Bobby goes with you. Does that ever happen?
Bobby comes with me sometimes. Yeah, I think for them, it's been a kind of an unhealthy place to be for a while. And so they've made the choice to step away for a little bit, for as long as they need to. And I think that's a good place to be as well. I think that really church should be. And I think what the ultimate purpose of church in any religion is that reconnection, that bringing together of people and the bringing together of people to God. And so I think, you know, if that kind of environment, even if it's trying to be good, hurts people, which it does inevitably, and if, you know, I think that people really need to be able to make their own decisions without judgment from others, because we're all so different, we don't know each other's stories. So Bobby comes with me sometimes, and I love it, and Bobby doesn't come with me, and I love it. And so...
Yeah, I guess I'm wondering, like, do you ever feel like awkward or out of place? Do you feel like people are looking at you? And like, how do you manage that?
For sure. I mean, because often, I mean, I'm the only one, a girl wearing a suit or, you know, kind of, or I have a rainbow puffy jacket that I like to wear sometimes during the winter times. And so for sure, people, you know, kind of are intrigued, like, or like, yeah, for sure. On one occasion, it was really sweet. I was wearing this rainbow jacket I had, and this older woman came up and she, you know, nudged me and said, you know, I know what those colors mean and I support it. It was really funny. And so for sure, I really do like my ward, and I've been able to find some really sweet people who are interested in Bobby. Even if Bobby's not there, they're asking me about them, you know, they're asking me about my life. And I really appreciate that. And of course there are other people who, you know, don't really want to engage with me, which is okay.
Well, I feel like it's a really courageous thing to do.
It sounds like some people in your ward do things to actively make sure that you know that you belong.
Yeah, definitely, which is I feel super lucky to have the ward that I do and the people.
Yeah, let's say some listener knows of a same-sex couple in their ward boundaries, and they know the couple wants to come to church, but they haven't been. What would you recommend that the straight ally do to help an LGBTQ couple feel comfortable at church?
Yeah, I think the first thing would be to let them know that you're invested in them. So maybe it's not inviting them to church or things like that. Initially, I think it would be going over and trying to befriend them, saying, hey, can I meet up with you sometime outside of church to get to know you? Can I hear your stories? And I think by extending that hand, that then that queer couple could make decisions further about how much they want to be involved. But knowing that people are invested in them and want to know who they are, and they're not going to be, you know, preached to, I think that's a good way to go about it.
Yeah. So you, what I'm hearing you say is you want to be around people who care about you, not people who care about where you are on Sunday morning.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I think when talking about queer people in an LDS setting, they already know everything that they're going to be preached. They've already heard it, and they've already tried to make sense of it. They've already read the scriptures about it. And so I think when we're interacting with queer people, we need to really just extend a hand out rather than trying to pull them in or try to tell them why what they're doing is right or wrong.
Well, let's say there's a queer individual listening who's in a same-sex relationship and they've wanted to go to church but just feel like they're not going to be accepted. What would you say to them?
I think I would definitely say to pray or meditate about it, however you access God, to get an answer, to know what would be right for you. I think during COVID times, like Zooming in to meetings might be like an easier way to get started going to church again, or being part of church. You know, you're not seen, but you can still be part of it. And for me, that's been kind of a nice break too, being able to just Zoom in rather than be there physically. But I think really every person needs to decide what feels right to them, and that might vary or fluctuate. Sometimes it may feel good to go and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Charlie, I've heard you say before that if you were to be in a same-sex relationship, you would still want to attend church.
Yeah, definitely. And I have been in that position before. A few years back, I was dating this guy for a while, and I wanted to like share the spiritual side of me and like at the very least, like have him understand where I came from and what my religious worship was like, just see that element that's been so important to me. So I invited him to come to church, and it was awesome. Like, it was a really good experience. And obviously I'm not dating him anymore, but I definitely don't regret doing that. Additionally, I had a friend a few years back who was getting pretty serious with his boyfriend, and he was like, I want to take him to church. Kind of a similar thing. Like, I want him to know about me and like share this with me and see if this is something he's interested in. He was like, if it's valuable to me and I love church and I love reading the Book of Mormon, maybe it will be to my boyfriend. Like who knows? So what he did is he just told a couple people in the ward, some of his good friends, and was like, hey, I'm bringing my boyfriend to church. I'm really nervous. Like, could you be there? Could you help it be comfortable? And we were all like, I was nervous too, because this was even before I'd brought my boyfriend to church. And who knows, maybe without my friend, I wouldn't have even had enough courage to do it. But so we were all prepared, and they walk in together, and they looked so cute. They were like dressed so well. They like coordinated their outfits. They looked great. And we just had a really good time getting to know him. And the bishop came down off the stand and was just had a really like normal, easygoing conversation. We showed him like how to use the hymn books, and it was just like really good. They ended up coming to Elders Quorum because it was like that week. And because this non-member gay man was in Elders Quorum, the lesson was so much better than it usually was. Like, everyone was on their A game, and they like really wanted to like talk about Jesus and not talk about like, let's read the manual again. Like, it was just like having him there made us all better. Like, he never got baptized or anything, and they're actually still together, but like they go to church together and they support one another. And it was funny. General Conference was coming up, and the boyfriend had like a pretty nice apartment and a big TV, and like, big apartments are so hard to come by in New York City. Like, and so he like threw a General Conference watch party at his house, and like a bunch of the ward members went there. And it was just like having them in the ward made it so much better. I was so grateful that my friend was willing to be courageous and do something that is like hard and maybe like by society looked weirdly upon, to be true to himself, because it made everyone better.
Like, as we've been talking, I've been thinking about the scripture where I think it's Jesus talking in the Book of Mormon. He says, I've commanded none of you to go away, but I've commanded all of you to come unto me. And, you know, I feel like that's how our congregation should be, places where everyone feels like they can come and where they feel welcome.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think that's something that has bothered me in the past, because I think, you know, if this is a place that's supposed to be Christ's church, then why do so many people not feel welcome? And that's bothered me a lot. And so I think we have so far to go on how we can make our congregations and our churches more accepting and Christ-like. Because, you know, when I think about Christ, I think about him eating with people who no one else would eat with, sitting with people who he wouldn't sit with, you know, no one else would sit with, and breaking bread with them and getting to know them. And to me, I don't see that reflected often in church congregations. And so I think that's definitely something that is on my mind a lot, that I wish, you know, if we're a Christ-centered church, why can't we be more like Christ in that aspect?
Yeah, and culturally at the time, like, Jews weren't allowed to talk to Gentiles. Like, they weren't allowed to be with Gentiles. And Christ just turned that rule on its head when he wouldn't talk to the woman of Samaria at the well. So many times he just like broke that norm of I'm going to be with this person that culturally I'm not allowed to be with.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we often forget is like Jesus was a revolutionary mm-hmm. figure, you know, and it's easy to kind of forget that nowadays. But to me, when I think about Jesus and what Christ does or had done in the past and in the scriptures, it gives me a lot of courage. When I was coming out, let's say, when I would read in the scriptures, I would see Jesus like fearlessly standing up for people and being really courageous in these very odd and incorrect, socially incorrect ways. And so for me, I've taken that to heart, feeling like if Christ can be someone who's so radical in his, at the time of his way of loving, then I too can be like him.
Yeah, when I think about the Savior, his love and acceptance were radical. Like they were completely radical for the time, so much so that like people were trying to kill him like his whole life, and then they murdered him because his associations were too much. You know, he went so far against the grain to love people and be with people, and no one had ever encountered anything like that, and it seemed wrong. And that's just such a beautiful point. Faith and love is tied so much into courage. Mm-hmm. And yeah, thanks for making that point.
Yeah. And I think talking about this makes me think, I forget where in the scriptures, but the passages about like the lion lying down with the lamb and the child with the asp. And to me, yeah, I was also talking to my dad about this, but there's these passages seem so contradictory. These really gentle things with these really, you know, maybe strong predators. Yeah. And for me, that's been really interesting to think about, because in this vision of like goodness that these passages describe, I see myself living in a contradiction to what society says. From that, I see that I can find God even in these situations or circumstances of my life that might seem like unnatural to other people,
mm-hmm.
but that controversialness, the controversial nature of my existence being on the crossroads of LDS culture and gospel and being queer, I find myself really aligned with that. I find that I can have God in the uncertain, in the controversial, and that's something that gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Could you answer two questions for me?
Absolutely.
What are some of the positive things you get from your marriage, and what are some of the positive things you get from attending church?
Sure. Positive things from my marriage, gosh, there are lots. I get companionship. I think that's lovely. Someone to go on adventures with and to be with whenever I need. And I get lots of insight and opinion from someone who's so different from me, different culture, different life that they've lived. And I think I could answer both questions with the same answer. I get this companionship, this fellowship, the love, hopefully, of a ward and its ward members, and the love of God, and also all of these insights and wonderful new ideas from attending church.
It sounds like you gained something really beautiful, but it didn't come at the cost of losing something that's really beautiful.
Yeah, for sure.
So for me, being a gay member of the church has really, it's been like a crazy crash course in agency. And I'm kind of learning that agency isn't like yes or no. And I used to look at everything as like so completely black and white. Like Ben was saying, like, it's be in a relationship, leave the church. It's stay in the church, pretend you're straight. Neither of those worked for me, and neither of those will work for me. And I think sometimes I mean, there's even conference talks that's like, if you're not all the way in, you're out, you know? And I don't know that.
Or cafeteria.
Yeah. Like
an idea.
Yeah. And that doesn't really resonate with me, because like, how can you like,
I think what you're saying is we kind of limit our choices.
Yeah. Yes, totally. Like if you're looking at like one choice, like choice A versus choice B, that's not agency, because agency isn't the act of choosing between A and B. Agency is like choice. It is free will. It is being able to move and grow and like, let's see if there's a choice Q or a choice R, and like looking at all the different ways that you can move throughout life. it's just like so beautiful to me that you've done that and that you're still doing that as you like
trying to.
Yeah. Well, you're doing it like you're exercising your free will as you say, I've made choices that have brought me to this point, and let me look at all the options and all the ways and like talk to God and figure out where I'm supposed to be right now. I think that's so bold and powerful. And to me, that's God's greatest gift to mankind, humankind, is agency.
Yeah, definitely. I think something that comes to mind is the song "Where Love Is, There God Is Also." And that song has brought me a lot of comfort because I've made decisions based on what will bring me joy. And I know that God wants me to have joy. And I know that when I have joy, thus love, then God will be with me. So I'm determined to, on any path that I take, that it'll be a path of love. So I'm not worried about my relationship with God because I know that I will have God. And so I think I feel a lot of peace because I feel like my desires for myself and God's desires for myself to fulfill my measure of creation are really aligned. And so that, even though I'm not aligned necessarily with the church's instructions, I'm not worried about it because I feel so much peace in the direction that I'm going because I know it's going to be a path with God.
Yeah. You used a phrase that has been very dear to me, fulfill the measure of your creation. And I remember sometimes even still, like, going to the temple is hard for me because I just kind of feel on the fringe. And I remember one time specifically I went and I didn't want to go, but I just felt like I should. And I was like, I'm going to the temple as a gay man. Like, I'm not going as a like cookie cutter member of the church. Like, today I'm going as me, mm-hmm. and we'll see what happens. And the thing that stood out to me the most was this phrase, fulfill the measure of your creation. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, what is my creation? Like, how was I created and how do I fulfill that? Because for so long I was like, well, if I can't have a wife, then I can't have XYZ. And if I can't have kids, then that's not like multiplying and replenishing. And like all of the things that like I thought were fulfilling the measure of creation, like weren't my creation. Like, it's kind of like what you were saying, like of a general authority and like generalization, like there's something inherently different. And hearing those words in that mindset made me think, it almost gave like a personal aspect to my religious experience that I hadn't had before. And I was like, I need to figure out who I am and how I was created to figure out how to do the best I possibly can as myself. And I'm glad you mentioned those words because it reminded me of that experience.
Yeah. And I think like when we're talking about the measure of our creation in church, we're taught that we're created in the image of God. Yeah. And so when I think about God, I think God, the definition of God or who God is, that's really expanded as I've come into accepting who I am and being with Bobby, who's, you know, agender, they don't fit the binary. So when I think about God, I'm like, well, if we reflect God, if we're made in God's image, then that needs to include everyone that exists, which includes, you know, trans people and intersex people and agender, all the different types of identities. So I think viewing God in that way has made me feel very assured in who I am and the intentionality that God had when creating me and when creating all of my LGBTQ siblings. And so I think that's given me so much comfort. You know, being able to, I think, see LDS principles or ideas through a queer lens and kind of interpreting it in the ways that make sense to me, that's really expanded my understanding and appreciation of God and the ways that we fit into God's plan.
So being in a LGBTQ relationship and being part of the church, continuing that aspect of your life comes with certain like restrictions and loss. And I just want to ask how you've dealt with that or maybe what some of that loss has been.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember quite distinctly like my last visit to the temple, you know, I knew that it was my last visit because my recommend was expiring. You know, I just felt like I wouldn't be able to get another one, obviously. And so, I mean, those memories are definitely hard to think on because it hurts to think that the church would want to shut its doors to me. And that for sure has been something that's that I felt really sad about, because I feel like an institution that brought me up saying that they loved me. Sorry. You know, an institution that, that told me that I was part of it. And then to have even those physical closing of the doors was really hard. But since then, I've really learned that my relationship with heavenly beings, with God, do not depend on my relation or my depend on my status in an institution. That could, that their closing of the temple doors for me could never limit me from accessing God or having those same experiences that I had in the temple. And I found a lot of that through being with Bobby, and I found that kind of peace, and I found so much hope, even though I felt so excluded. And so I think through that, it was through like the physical closing of like the temple doors to me, or, you know, having callings, or, you know, being asked to talk or being asked to participate, really has totally stopped, which I really valued. And so I think through that, I've learned a lot how to advocate for myself and to know that my voice is still important, even if they don't want, you know, if they want to limit what I'm saying or who I am, that I really need to advocate for myself. And that's something that I've had to learn how to do, because naturally I'm just a very quiet person and I don't like to cause a problem or disrupt things. But now it's become part of my life to advocate for myself, advocate for my other siblings who can't even be as involved as I am. And that hurts. So.
Summer, as you were talking, and thank you so much for just sharing your heart and being open and vulnerable.
Didn't mean to cry.
No, it's okay. Like, it shows that it's something that's important to you and valuable, and I'm so sorry for that loss. I truly am.
Me too. As you were talking, I was just thinking, I would be so honored to attend a congregation that you attend, and I would love to sit next to you at church, even though your suit would be better than mine.
You're very kind. I would love that.
I appreciate you sharing that, because it's real, and I remember... I mean, when I was dating, I would go to the temple and think, is this the last time I'll ever go?
Mm-hmm.
And I'd take the sacrament and think, like things in my relationship are progressing well. Like, how much longer will I be able to take the sacrament as I'm finding something else that feels so, so right? And I obviously, I can't empathize completely, but that was hard. Like, even just the knowledge that the two paths that I wanted still, in a sense, are contradictory right now. Like that was really difficult.
It's very exclusive.
Yeah, it's hard. But also, I'm really impressed that you were able to find like blessings and optimism within that space of learning how to advocate for yourself and speak up. I'm very impressed with you, truly.
It's interesting because, you know, we're talking about, can you be, you know, married and attend church? And I've only ever been in the position once where I really thought about that. And it was when I was dating Jordan, and this is before the November 2015 policy. So I thought, well, we can get married. I won't get excommunicated. I won't have a calling, but I'll be on the records of the church, and I won't get to go to the temple. But I was like, I go to the temple every week, so I've gone more than most people in the world.
Just like front loaded your temple attendance.
I was like, I feel like I've like done lots of church service, and it would be okay to be in a relationship and lose those privileges. And I just remember. I got in my car in Arizona and drove up to Utah to tell Jordan I was like going to pick him over the church. And I've told this story before. And I just like passed by all these temples on the freeway on my way up. And I remember thinking, would I be okay not being able to go inside?
Mm-hmm.
And that just like ripped my heart because I love going so much. And even so, I was willing to give that up because I wanted to be with someone that I loved. That ultimately wasn't the choice that I made, but I can really empathize for the choice that you make, Summer. And I'm just... I think it's really remarkable that you are choosing to be all of you. And I feel like in my choices, I'm choosing to be all of me too.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure there are people who tell you that, you know, you're not being authentic if you do X, Y, or Z. And people tell me that too. And I say, no, I'm doing the very best I can with what I got.
Yeah.
And I just like sense from you so much love and goodness and just like a closeness to God. And I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess if you're trying to decide whether or not to get married to a same-sex partner, you just take a drive up I-15. And by the end of it, you'll have a pretty good idea of where you sit.
Yep. But it's interesting because, you know, it sounds like you were super intentional about all of this. And I wasn't intentional about it at the time. I was just like so scared. Just like so scared of being alone. And I feel like I had to make this choice to not be alone. And I'm not getting that sense from you.
No. I feel like within this space, to be successful, you almost have to be intentional. Yeah. And not saying that it was bad of you to not be back then, Ben, but I think you're very intentional now.
Yeah.
And now you're happy because when society pulls at you from so many different ways, and like, it's almost like threats to authenticity everywhere you look. And in order to be your full self, or at least for me, I feel like I have to be intentional and like actively choose me over and over and over, because me doesn't necessarily fit with where I live and who I'm with all the time. And so you have to like, I'm not trying to generalize this, but I feel like I have to make decisions and remind myself that it's not just A and B. Like, yeah, there are different ways to be me. Yeah. And that's when I've been the most happy.
And I feel like I was letting choices be made for me.
Yeah.
And now I try and live in a world where I'm going to make the choice that's right for me. Like, I'm going to see, okay, am I making this choice because of fear, because of loneliness, because of sadness, because I have to? And then I kind of take a step back and make sure that I'm making the choice that I want to be making, not from external forces.
Right. It reminds me of like acting versus being acted upon. And we are commanded to act and not be acted upon. And that's what I see you doing somewhere.
Yeah. Going back to being able to choose, I think it's a godly characteristic to be able to decide, to be decisive, to be intentional. Because I think when I think about God, you know, God intentionally created us in so many different ways. And so I think the act of, you know, choosing your way is godlike.
And I have no doubt that you're becoming more like God as you make the choices that feel right for you.
I wasn't meaning to say that, by the way.
So, Summer, you're in a queer marriage. You attend church. What do you plan to do going forward?
Yeah. I think to Bobby and I, family's really important. And that's a value, you know, loving your family that both Bobby and I have taken a lot from LDS teachings, is the importance of family, and family being one of the best and the greatest, you know, gifts, whether that be your immediate family or having a family. And so for us, I think that is, you know, a kind of a dream to be able to have a family and to be able to raise people who are inclusive and good and can make, you know, choices and make choices well. And so I think moving forward, we have a lot of goals that maybe, you know, regular LDS couples might have or families might have. And I think the ways that we try to separate ourselves, us versus them within the church, maybe it's easy for us to say, oh, you know, the normal Mormons and then the LGBTQ people, you know, and really other each other. But I think when we take a step back, we have so many of the same goals and so many of the same hopes for our futures that bring us together and make us so much more similar.
Do you plan on taking your kids to church?
If they want to, of course. I think Bobby and I have talked about this a lot. Primary was super fun. And I mean, I feel like I learned a lot of really good things. Probably all of like the little scriptures or songs that I brought up have been because of primary and because of those little things that we sang about, you know, I'm a child of God and, you know, the song about faith. I've learned so much from them. And so going forward, I think if our kids, I mean, I see myself going to church in the future. So I would like to take my kids sometimes if they'd felt like it. And I'd like them to see what it's like, but also I really want them to be able to understand lots of religions. And so I feel like I would really like to, you know, to go to other churches and to learn from other people and other cultures. And so that's something that's important to us.
You know, Summer, I just want to thank you for talking about the loss that you've experienced, because, you know, if you go to church and have a wonderful time, like, that doesn't take away the pain of the things that you've lost. And straight people at church can be really kind and really wonderful and really nice, but that doesn't mean that it's not hard, the things that you're giving up to be in a relationship.
Yeah. And I feel like as we were talking about that, we mostly focused on the temple, but there are like other things, like you mentioned, not being able to hold a calling, or I don't really know what the restrictions are because I've never lived under them, but I'm sure like that creates like a weight and like a thorn that's constantly there pushing you away from the church.
for sure. I mean, yeah, it's like I'm not asked to give talks in sacrament, which is something that I enjoy doing, you know, so I feel like in a lot of ways my voice has been taken away. That's why I think the self-advocacy is so important.
I wonder what that would be like to like feel that stirring to bear your testimony and like know that you're not allowed to.
Not be able to.
Yeah.
But even with that thorn, you're still willing to go and like put yourself in that position of like pressure.
It's been difficult. But
why? Like, why are you willing to still do that?
Well, I think when I think about the kids at church, I was once a queer kid in my congregation who didn't, you know, didn't even think that I was gay or anything. Like, I just thought I was normal. And so I think, you know, for those queer kids who are starting to sense kind of their differences or things about themselves, noticing things about themselves that are different, I think what a blessing would it have been for me to have someone who was similar to me in my congregation growing up and knowing that that was healthy and that was good. I think it would have been so big. And so, you know, if I didn't have that, then I hope that maybe at some point a kid in my congregation can benefit from having me there, or, you know, that they can reach out to me, or just to see me sitting there with my family and knowing that that's okay.
Can I ask you a spiritual question?
Of course.
What parts of your testimony are most dear to you?
My understanding of the value of people and the goodness of people and with what purpose God put into creating them as individuals. I think I have a really strong testimony of the goodness of diversity, of differences, from being able to learn from each other, because I really don't believe that we were all made to fit the same mold. I think that we're meant to be different, to learn from each other, to learn empathy. And so for me, I think that my testimony has already been strong about, you know, how much I think that God cares for their kids and for us. But as I came out, it's only grown hundredfold of what I used to think. And I just felt so much more strongly about how dear we are to God and how dear we are to each other. And so I think definitely that's something that I really hold close to me is the value of people, regardless of their choices, regardless of if someone thinks it's right or wrong. I think I'm just in awe of people and how amazing they are.
And then just a follow-up question, as you're choosing to still go to church and actively exercise your spirituality in within the organization still, and you're also in this relationship, you're kind of honoring these two different sides of you. I just kind of want to ask, like, if or how God has influenced you or helped you as you try to navigate that space and put yourself in that position of like pain and loss and beauty.
I used to be really uncomfortable with uncertainty. I'm a person who really loves to know what's right or what's wrong and what I need to do. You know, I like to be told what to do, because then I know what's good and what to do. Being at this kind of crossroads, you have to sit in a lot of uncertainty and a lot of gray space. And in the beginning, that was so hard. It was so hard for me to know how to sit there, because it was so uncomfortable. But I think I've really grown to love this place that I'm in, where I feel like I can really rely on personal revelation, which is what the church was built on. It's a place where I feel free to learn more about myself, a place that I can learn more how to love others and to be more Christ-like. And so I think I've learned a whole lot about sitting in that space and finding peace, even though I don't know so much.
So Summer, you have such like a beautiful, kind spirit. We just want everyone to see that and help us understand like how God has been involved in these decisions you've made.
I think I've asked God about every decision that I've made relating to my relationship with Bobby, and I still have that connection, if not stronger, now that I'm out and I am authentic with who I am. I still so much feel the guidance of God and of the Holy Ghost. And I feel like I'm able to make decisions in my life with a sureness that I feel like I'm able to go on and make these decisions with surety because I'm in constant communication with God. And even though it's so hard, I think about something that my mom used to tell me often when I was younger and I had really bad anxiety. And so she would tell me, I know it's really hard, but you can just let Jesus hold on to it for you for a bit. You know, you don't have to carry it the whole time. And so for me, that's something that really has stuck with me, because I know that Jesus has experienced my pain already. And so I can give it to Jesus to hold on to for a bit, because sometimes it's just so heavy. And so that's given me a whole lot of comfort, knowing that someone of divinity and of the divine is able to hold me in this space, this gray space that can be sometimes so hard to hold on to.
All right. Well, Summer, thank you so much for coming on today. We just appreciate you sharing your life with us. And I just think you're such a beautiful person.
Thank you. You too. Aww. Both of you are beautiful.
Thank you for joining us today. If you have enjoyed this or other episodes, please consider leaving a review, following us on Instagram or Facebook at Questions from the Closet, or sharing this podcast with someone you love. And as always, please remember that we do not represent the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or Brigham Young University. We are not trying to be prescriptive or tell anyone what to think or what to do.
You heard three perspectives, and there are many, many more. We encourage you to listen to other voices and hear a wide variety of experiences. If you would like to submit a question or share a comment about today's episode, you can email us at questionsfromthecloset@gmail.com. Until next time.